Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the Catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have a special guest. She starred as Grisabella in the 2016 Broadway revival of Cats. Welcome, Mamie Paris.
Yo.
Thank you for being here.
Meow, meow.
Yeah. So I want to kick us off with just your history of Cats the musical. So did you see it as a kid? How familiar with it before you decided to become Grisabella?
I have a pretty weird history with cats because when I was a kid, my mom was a flight attendant, right? And one time when people would leave things on the plane, if they didn't get claimed, she would bring them home. And one time she brought home this whole thing of cassettes, and I realize I'm aging myself, but there was like a travel case of cassettes that no one had claimed, and it had like Wham, and it had, I don't even remember, these ridiculous 80s, 90s bands or something. So there was this two cassette collection of Cats, and I had like just started getting interested in musical theater, so I was like, this is cool. And I really hadn't heard much of the music before. I mean, I probably had heard Memory at some point.
Everyone has it that way.
Yeah, right? Like in a music box.
Yeah.
But I had never, the rest of it, like no way. And I just kind of loved it. The score is so cool and like electric. I don't know. It was just great fun. I used to dance around in my bedroom to it. Like I totally loved that.
Did you have a favorite song at that point?
Yeah. Oh, totally. McCavity.
Agreed. Because that's my favorite song.
Yeah. Well, especially if you're like a 12-year-old girl and you're just like it's kind of sexy and you're just like getting like into that world, and I just loved it, and I would dance around and sing McCavity.
Yeah. Not the best role model.
No.
But a great song.
Not at all. But I mean, but a really fun song. And then what's funny is, years later, when I was in college, I went to school in New York, and my side job to like have money to eat was I bartended at Broadway shows. And the one I was at the longest was Cats at the Winter Garden right before they closed.
Wow. So how many times did you get to see it?
Oh, God, I don't even know.
Hundreds? More?
Maybe 100, but I didn't always see the second act because I could leave like after we cleaned up after intermission.
I usually
didn't stay for the second act, yeah.
And so was that the first time you saw it, was when you were bartending? Or did you see it anytime before?
I saw it with a friend probably while I was in school, like the year before I started bartending. I think one of my friends who was kind of, you know, living in New York on daddy's money was like, let's go see Cats, and bought me a ticket because otherwise I never would have been able to afford it. And it was weird, but super fun. I had seen so few Broadway shows then that I was like thirsty. I was like, yes, give me all the art.
And when you first saw it, what was your initial reaction?
You know, I loved how interactive it was. Like, we were sitting kind of up in the mezzanine on the side, and in the original version, well, they did it in our version too, just not as much, but they would like crawl up on the edge of the boxes, and there was, you know, the cats, they have these glow, like light up eyes, and one kind of went off right next to me, and I was like, ah! And I thought it was so fun.
And that's why I don't think kids should go to this play.
Maybe. I mean,
Sarah Ford mentioned that she made multiple kids cry.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
And so that's why I always ask.
But some kids are obsessed. They love it. Like, I went out once to do Memory, And, you know, you don't pay a lot of, you're in your zone and you're in character and you don't pay a lot of attention to the audience. But I noticed when I first came out and started singing, I mean, dead center, right in the front row, was this little boy who couldn't have been more than 9 or 10. And he was like dressed up for the theater. And he just was sitting there with his eyes wide open. And I thought, oh God, I'm going to scream in this kid's face and like traumatize him for life. And I swear to God, this child, it was like he didn't breathe the entire time. He just watched. His eyes were, he was enraptured. It was kind of magical. And I was like, this is, kids get this on a whole other level than adults.
Was it like admiration or was it being terrified?
It wasn't fear.
It wasn't fear.
It wasn't
okay.
Fear. I don't know if it was admiration or just, I don't know, kids, the kids who see it, who enjoy it, they just get it on another level. I think, you know, I was talking to some friends of mine about this because I had some friends that came and saw me in the show at one point. And she said, at one point I came out at the end of act one and Grizz has this little, we call it the broken doll dance, because she tries to be like they are and she's just too far gone. And my friends were watching and this little kid behind her, she said some like 6-year-old girl goes, she wants to be like the rest of them, but she's too old or something like that. And she said her mind like exploded because she was like, oh my God, that's exactly what was happening. Yeah. And I was too distracted. I think adults are so, you're so trying to rationalize everything that's going on. What is this about? What's the plot? And kids are just absorbing what's happening.
That's absolutely true.
Don't you think?
The whole time I watched it, I was trying to figure out what was happening.
Yeah.
From start to finish.
I need something linear. I need someone to tell me what's going on. And kids are just like, wow, what's happening here? Oh, this guy's sparkling. And I don't know, they get something from it that adults don't get. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because it's so clearly not like made for children, but
it's clearly not made for children.
Not
there's
at all.
A lot of stuff that's very much not made
the
for children.
The cats are quite sexy.
I mean, there's that. There's some of the storylines, if you really dig into it.
Oh yeah.
Buster Jones
very
goes
dark.
To strip clubs.
Oh yeah.
McCavity's in an abusive relationship.
Oh, McCavity's a rapist. Oh my God, he's terrible.
See? So you like, said that, not me.
Yeah. He's awful. I mean, we don't tell them that. We don't sing, you know, McCavity's a rapist. Like, we don't sing that. That'd be interesting if we did.
But. So you play the main character, or at least the one that wins, in my opinion, at the end.
I get to graduate.
Yeah.
From Kiddyland.
Yeah. Well, I mean, or murdered.
Sure. Euthanized, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's ever to each his own.
So I want to kind of go into a couple of the rumors and storylines of your character. But first, your character goes through like an emotional roller coaster throughout the whole musical.
Yeah.
What's that like performing that? I mean, highs of highs and lows of lows.
It's a super cool challenge for an actor because, you know, she's not on stage a whole heck of a lot, if you think about it, especially compared to the other cats that are really on stage nonstop, even when other cats are performing. And Grizabella is really not. So a lot of people would be like, oh, wow, you got the princess track. And I was like, I mean, in a way, yes, but also it's a huge responsibility to just show up 5 times and to somehow, in those short times that you're on stage, create this whole story and this whole arc. Mm-hmm. And that was a really cool challenge. And it was a lot of pressure, you know, you want to tell the story as best you can, the story that's, you know, hard for people to grasp. And to sing such an iconic song, there's a lot of pressure. And that's the last thing you do in the entire show. I mean, you make all these little short appearances and then you save the big song for the very end. So it's, you never really get a chance to rest on your laurels.
Yeah. And you do sing the most iconic song. What's it like belting that out night after night?
Oh my God, it was incredible. It was incredible. I loved it. I mean, what an amazing song.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, when you read it, you know, part of my job as an actor is to interpret what I'm given. And it's such a unique thing to be handed poetry that is a bit esoteric and broad and have the unique opportunity to kind of interpret it, reinvent it in a way, and make it personal to my cat character and to the story. And for me, that's just, I love that kind of stuff. Like I grew up, I love Shakespeare. I love, like, words are just thrilling to me. So I love that.
So I'm glad you said that, because this is what I want to do now. I want to interpret some of the rumors or just how many people have interpreted your character.
Okay.
And different various parts.
All right.
So the first thing I want to talk about is that your poem is not actually in the book.
Totes.
Because it was too scary for children.
Yeah.
What? how do you think Andrew Weber or whoever is making the directive choice of this said, let's make that the main character. And then to your point, have kids eat this up. Because it's clearly too scary. Everything else is based on this book. Yeah. But we're going to add this one in here that T.S. Eliot said, no, sorry, I don't want to put this in. Yeah. And is now the basis of the play.
Well, and maybe I'm misremembering, so don't quote me on this, but as far as I recall from the stories I've been told about how Cats came about and how they worked with T.S. Eliot's widow, mm-hmm. Who gave them the
Grisabella. Gave that poem. Yeah, gave that poem.
It sounded like it was something, like I said, if I'm misremembering, I apologize to anyone who knows the truth.
But no one knows any of the truth about anything about Cats. Yeah, you can say whatever you want. I've been doing it all the episodes.
Oh my God, amazing. Yeah. Good. Somebody should.
Yeah.
So I think it was one that T.S. Eliot really liked and was attached to, but was concerned that it was too dark. And I don't know if he thought it was too scary, but too dark.
Too dark. Okay.
That it might be a little too intense for kids. But, you know, if you're given this unpublished piece about a cat that sounds, I mean, it's intriguing because that's the song that the girls sing about me. I never actually sing that mm-hmm. song, you know. She haunted many a low resort from the grimy roads of Tottenham Court. I mean, it's like it's dark and it's, yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want to put that in? I would want to put that in.
And that's like the red light district.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's meaty. Yeah. Like I can absolutely see why they would want to put that in.
Yeah. So one of the most interesting rumors I found, mm-hmm. I am very curious about because I still can't figure out if there's truth to it, how it worked. But early on the first dance number, there's supposed to be a baby Grisabella.
Oh, yeah. They call it baby Gris now. I don't know if that was always a thing.
Okay. There's an interpretation that is your character reborn.
Right.
Witnessing young. The beginning.
Yeah.
After having died.
I don't know if that was always what it is. I mean, I don't know. I wish I knew.
So but you don't have any insight on that?
I don't. Maybe I should. You know, I did that. I did the show a million years ago in basically like a summer stock situation. And we mm-hmm. did the traditional like as baby Grizz or as another cat. Basically, I danced in the opening and was part of the opening. But I don't remember if I was told the story of that was baby Grizz.
Because I find that very challenging. It's already a lot to handle in the first opening scene when there's 25, 26 like cats on stage dancing.
If I remember correctly, and you know, like I said, I did it in like a summer stock, but our director had been in the Broadway production of Cats and knew told us basically the lore that gets passed down. And I don't remember the whole baby Grizz being a part of it. Like I remember just naming my cat myself and being something else. But like I said, maybe that's something I missed along the way because it wasn't in the Broadway revival. So
what about, there's the rumor that your two daughters are Demeter and Ballerina.
Interesting, and
that's why they sing that kind of negative song is because you abandoned them.
Oh.
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I don't think I would go there, but maybe that's something, I don't know. That's an interesting take. You know, I always thought that maybe her daughter was Victoria, the white cat.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But that's just a possibility. And that in my mind, if I'm writing the story of Grisabella, you know, that Victoria was the cat that she chose to give up to the tribe, hoping the tribe would take her in because she would have a better life.
So how would you write the story of Grisabella? Like if you were explaining it to someone who is going to go see the show for the first time or the movie.
Yeah. Well, some of it would be some of the lore that I've been passed down and some of it would be like my creation, I guess.
I'd love to hear both.
Well, my lore / creation would be that, you know, back in Grisabella's youth, she was the pretty glamorous, sought after cat. Kind of like the white cat is now. As a kitten, she was the one everybody loved and wanted to see and was gorgeous mm-hmm. and emulated. And then she was seduced by McCavity, who took her away to a life of basic destitution. You know, if you were mm-hmm. to really humanize the cats, then they would be drug addicted and stealing and doing all kinds of bad things, and that he really led her over to a dark side. And maybe she betrayed several people in the tribe, or several cats in the tribe because of that. And then he kicked her to the curb for Bomb Ballerina. That's her story. Yeah. I don't have to get into Bomb's story. But he basically kicked me out. I was old and used and spent. But the tribe wouldn't take me back because at that point I had walked away. I had turned my back on them. So they left me basically out in the cold to sell myself and try and, you know, stay hooked on the drugs, that maybe at some point I gave up a kitten that was either McCavity's or someone else's, mm-hmm. probably, and left her with a tribe, hoping that she would be taken in. And I think that's, I like that idea, because the fact that I keep trying to return to the tribe, it makes it a little less strictly for myself. It mm-hmm. makes it a little more selfless in my mind, which, you know, any good actor, you want your character to be loved and
positive.
And, yeah, yeah. A decent person slash cat on the inside. Yeah. So I think there's something about coming back and wanting to be near her kitten, as well as wanting to return to a tribe where she's loved and cared for. And yeah.
And then you do.
And then I do. I make every attempt, and I'm mocked and I'm spat on and mm-hmm. I'm, you know, tormented. Until old Deuteronomy tells them to step aside and take me seriously for a second. And I think he's, the wisdom of old Deuteronomy is that not only does he see the journey I've been through and the knowledge I have, but by being the leader that he is, that he encourages the other cats to see it as well. Mm-hmm. So that they actually celebrate me when I'm reborn.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And then you die.
And
you're
then
reborn.
Do I die? You know, that's a good question. I mean, the cat is reborn. So...
To a new life,
to be a kitten again. So it's like you're kind
back
of
back into
die,
the tribe. Interesting.
You know, and I don't. They don't say she dies. They say you go to the Heaviside layer.
Yeah, because they want to make this for kids.
I guess, but it's also like, you know, the Heaviside layer is a real place. Now I don't think that's necessarily what T.S. Eliot meant, but the Heaviside layer is actually a layer above the atmosphere and the ozone above the ozone layer. Yeah. So it's a little. It's out there, it's, you know, but it's like, what does happen to her? Do we know? I don't know, you know.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. There's one other rumor I do want to ask about.
Okay.
About a potential love triangle between Buster Jones, you, and Joey Lorem.
Oh, wow, that's kinky. I don't know anything about that.
No?
Yeah. I mean, you know, with the Jelly Lorem we had and the Buster Jones we had, I'd be down for it. Yeah. But you're talking about love triangle, not a threesome.
Not a threesome, love triangle.
I don't know. Yeah, that's an interesting rumor.
I mean, it's cats, so it could be a threesome.
I would find that's a little tricky for me to believe. Maybe in the old, you mean like back when Grisabella was glamorous?
It's undefined. These rumors are.
Something about that doesn't seem like it could be.
So was the Buster
Jones so concerned about outward appearances? He would never.
So that would be the Buster Jones part would be as kit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because the rumors that you two were best friends growing up.
Or maybe he was a paramour.
Could be.
He seems like a sugar daddy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think that was one of my takes, was that he tried to save you from a cavity.
Oh. Bustopher, though? I mean, Bustopher is so self-serving. I don't know that he'd do that unless there was something in it for him.
But you win. So in my take of this whole world, it's like America's Got Talent or The Voice or American Idol. So you win $1 million. So now he's your manager.
Oh, okay.
He gets a cut.
All right.
That's kind of how I've...
He would take a cut.
Conceptualize this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it doesn't
make
sense.
He just wants a cut and a good table at Sardi's. That's all he wants. He's like, he just wants the visibility.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So you got to play Grisabella, but if you weren't Grisabella, who would you want to play? Or if I rephrase this question, who's your favorite cat, not cast member, character, and who's your least favorite?
Oh, I love Gus. I love Gus, the theater cat. He's so dear. He's so genuine. Oh my God, he's the sweetest.
What a powerful song, too.
Oh, isn't it just lovely? Oh, It just breaks your heart. So yeah, I love Gus. He's probably my favorite. My least favorite? That's tough. I don't know.
You have to have one.
Yeah. You know that Mistoffelees song just goes on and on and on.
Really? Interesting.
I mean, who doesn't love Mistoffelees? He's magical and he does tricks and he lights up and he dances. But my goodness, it's like 18 repeats. So maybe Mistoffelees.
Because you're at
but
that
also,
point.
Like, I have a soft spot for Jenny Antidotes, but I'm not a fan of tap dancing.
Well, especially with a bunch of cockroaches.
Like, it's kind of a although weird... that number is so cute. And then the revival, it was really cute. So maybe I'll stick with Mistoffelees. I hate to say that, though. I love them. You know, they're all dear kitties.
My answer is still Peter.
Peter.
It's always going to be Peter.
Why Peter?
Because who named him Peter?
Yeah, that's an interesting
name. There's all these amazing names, and then you've got Peter.
Yeah, but there's something like... something endearing about people who name their animals like Karen.
I love it. I'm a big fan. I have a friend whose dog is named Mark, and it's like a big golden retriever.
Yeah, that's so
weird. I love it.
Mark.
But you don't have all these other, like, you have these crazy names like Rum Tug Tugger and Mr. Mistoffelees, and you've got Peter. And they're in the naming of the cats.
Yeah. I wonder if that was somebody's, if T.S. Eliot, like, that was a joke, if there's somebody he knew named Peter.
Someone that he didn't
he's
like.
He's like, I put you in the book.
Yeah, or somebody he didn't like.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're gonna
somebody owed a favor to, and rather than, like, paying him back, he was like, what, I put you in my book? Shouldn't that be enough? I named a cat, after you.
Yeah. Okay. Through the magic of podcast time travel, we are recording this before the movie comes out, but when this hits the airwaves, is that a podcast thing? I don't know how it works.
We can ask
people. Yeah, however this works. The movie will be out. So I'm curious what your take is for the movie. And I've heard from different cast members very different takes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What have people said?
Well, my favorite was Christopher Gere, who got very angry that they have dialogue because you weren't allowed to talk.
Oh, yeah. That is interesting.
You called it
that
cheating.
It kind of is. It's kind of like when you see a mime talk and you're like, come on, man. That's interesting. I don't know if that would make me angry, but yeah, that's going to be weird to see because I'm going to be like, this is very strange. I'm stoked because it looks so bizarre. And in my mind, that's kind of what Cats should be. Like, I have this theory when it comes to Cats because it's, you know, it's such like everybody knows Cats now and it's such an iconic, like, it's part of our pop culture. But you have to think about when it came out in the early 80s, how truly avant-garde this musical must have been, like, really avant-garde. Like, not, it was really like artistic and weird, and like, and now we're just so used to it. They were like, oh, Cats. But I just love that this movie is making people go like, what is this weird stuff? Because I feel like that's totally what Cats is. It should be weird. It should make you curious. It should make you be like, what is happening?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be.
I think it is too. I'm stoked.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm excited.
So before I get to my last question,
I'd
love to hear what you're currently doing.
I'm actually in rehearsals for a new Andrew Lloyd Webber show that's kind of loosely based. It's a review that kind of coincides with his autobiography, which was recently released. So it's the same title. It's called Unmasked, The Music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. And it's playing at the Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey.
Amazing.
And it'll be there until March 1st.
Wow. That sounds great.
And I'm excited. I don't know if I'm singing Memory
or
not, which is kind of thrilling. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to show up and be like, tell me to sing some stuff.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to get to my last question.
Yeah.
And I now have released all of my episodes.
Oh, boy.
Arguing why I don't think your character was the right cat to die at the end, or maybe not die. Mm-hmm. But the podcast is called The Wrong Cat Died. So I'm assuming that Grisabella dies.
Yeah. Literally or metaphorically.
Do you agree with me? And if not, who would you make your argument for?
You know, I don't agree with you. I think Grizz absolutely should be reborn.
Okay.
I think she's seen a lot of things that those other cats, no matter how talented they are, they don't have the life experience. They don't know what she knows. And they're not ready to move forward smarter and wiser and ready to be reborn into a new life. I think if anybody was going to give her a run for her money, it'd be Gus, you know, because Gus has seen some things. But honestly, as, you know, as charming and as old and as shaky as Gus has still got some life in him. Gus is a fighter. He's not quite ready to be reborn. I think he's still got some stuff
It's interesting you said that, because Christopher Guerrero's whole interpretation of his Gus character was that he didn't have anything left and he didn't have another life to live.
Oh, and so that was why I could see that. He said that.
But there's a very big Team Gus group out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, because Gus is delightful and charming. And but that is a wonderful take. And that makes perfect sense for Chris. His portrayal absolutely kind of shows that, that maybe he's lived. This is his ninth life.
My take now is Tugstopheles, which is the Rum Tug Tugger, Mr. Mistopheles duo.
Okay.
Kind of Bert and Ernie-ish dying together at the end. That's who I think is most worthy.
That's interesting. That's an interesting choice. But, like, are they ready to go?
I think
they haven't even come out with their relationship yet.
Well, that's
true. They haven't even come forward.
It's pretty obvious what's happening. Like, and there's a lot of fan fiction.
They need to evolve on that. There's a lot of fan fiction. And I've seen all those pictures, and some are pretty racy. Takes a lot of imagination.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. That's a good, you know, that's the thing is that all these cats have merits. Like, they all, if they were on The Voice, they'd be on somebody's team. For sure. But I don't know. It's like a different layer to choose which one actually moves forward. I don't know. If Gus is on his ninth life, I don't know who else I would choose.
Would you even put Old Deuteronomy as an option?
I feel like Old Deuteronomy is something else. Don't you feel like he's a little more eternal and ethereal, as if he's on a weird, like a 10th life that doesn't exist forever? Like, he's the grand poobah.
How do you think, like, how do they handle being on stage during intermission? I don't know if I could have dealt with that as a person.
You know?
And it blew my mind when it happened the first time, and it was a preview, so no one knew what to do.
Yeah, me too. It's pretty amazing.
And then the second time, everyone went up and got selfies.
You know what's funny is I had forgotten that was tradition, that they had done that in the original. Because like I said, I worked on the original and I was working during intermission. So I probably didn't really notice, but I'd kind of forgotten. So when I noticed that they were doing that, I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they're doing that. That's pretty intense. And Ira, our stage manager, was like, well, it's always been tradition. That's just what they do. They did it in the original. And I thought back to it and I was like, oh, you know what they did? But you know why it didn't seem so strange and invasive? Because there were no photos allowed. And I remember working there, like, if you didn't work at the bar, you would coat check. And they would make tourists check their cameras. And this is before
there's no
phone cameras.
There's no selfie stick coming into the
So they the literally theater. Would have to have people line up now in this revival to take selfies with, like, Old Deuteronomy, like he was Santa Claus, which to me is just, I thought that was really obscene. In my opinion, I don't think it's obscene for him to be there. I think that's a really interesting tradition. But thinking about it in the original, when people would just come up and not talk to him and just be able to step on stage and be around him was one thing. But then to have people line up like it's Macy's, like it's Singerland, like that just, I don't know, that takes it was, something out of it.
Yeah, it was an experience. Yeah. I was very confused the first time. I think most people were.
Yeah. I was very impressed with Q, with our Old Deuteronomy, Quentin Earl Darrington, who's just magnificent. This is my second show with Q, and I just adore him. And he was such a professional and so good at handling that, because that is tricky. He's in character and he's playing this character, and yet he's got to be out there and exposed and dealing with people and taking photos. And that's just interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I wouldn't have wanted to, well, especially as Grisabella, there's no way, but you know, I wouldn't have wanted to be in that position, because that's just very tricky.
Well, at that point, your character is not known to have your positive
revival. I would have hissed at them.
Yeah.
Try and take a picture of me.
Yeah.
I dare you. Grisabella's clawed her way for, you know, clawed people for less.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
How can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram. I'm at Mamie Paris, M-A-M-I-E-P-A-R-R-I-S. I'm on Twitter on Mamie Paris Official on Instagram.
Official.
Yeah. On Twitter, I'm at Mamie Paris, M-A-M-I-E-P-A-R-R-I-S. And I do have a Facebook page. Public page, but I don't really do much.
Don't do much. Okay.
Yeah, Facebook's
kinda, you can find it if you.
Yeah, but like, come, yeah, look me up. I try to.
Yeah,
you know,
follow subscribe.
Me, baby. I follow back. Click the link below to subscribe.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, this was great. Thank you for having
me. Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for listening to this bonus episode with Mamie Paris on The Wrong Cat Diet, the podcast breakdown of the cat catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Wrong Cat Died, or check out our website, TheWrongCatDied.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. and there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.